Now, once upon a time, there was an old dragon. And this dragon was a fiery beast, and was known for having a bad and fiery temper. And anybody that went near his cave was liable to get their clothes singed, or their hair singed, or their shoes singed. So nobody went near his cave. Nobody went near his cave for fear of what might happen. But one time he's up there, and he's sitting there just enjoying his peace and his solitude, and there's snow on the ground, and it's icy cold, and he hears the crunch, 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 crunch of footsteps coming up the mountainside. And before long he can smell in the air the smell of a human, and he's thinking, who's daring to come up here and disturb my peace and my solitude? Who hasn't heard the rumours about me burning people's trousers and burning people's hair if they dare come visiting me? And he's sitting there and thinking what kind of treatment he's going to mete out on the cheeky person who's coming up and seeing him. But what do you know? Who comes up the mountainside but crunch, 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 crunch. It's a little girl. A little girl with flaxen hair and a blue dress who's looking ever so sad and ever so determined and all. And when she comes up to the dragon, why, he hasn't done anything of the sort that he was thinking he might do, of blasting her clothes off or blasting her hair or all kinds of nasty things he was thinking of doing. No, he can't do any of that, because he's just looking at her. And how sweet and how sad-looking she is, and wondering all the while why she's come all this way to see him. And she stands before him, and she says, I'm ever so sorry to disturb you. I hear you don't like visitors. The dragon just says, Well, you see, she said, I wouldn't have come, only it was just that I was desperate. I'm so desperate and all. My mother has a stove, but the stove has gone out because we've got no wood and we've got no coal and we've got no nothing left to burn. We're so poor and the house is so cold. Oh, it's so freezing cold. I go at night and I watch my toes shivering and I watch my fingertips shivering and my whole body shivers until I fall asleep crying. And the dragon just listened to this and he already felt cold. Cold just listening to her. So I thought to myself, says the little girl, I thought to myself, maybe the dragon can help us, because after all, hasn't the dragon got all kinds of fire inside him? Maybe he can help us. So I came all this way to find you. I do hope you're not cross with me for coming and disturbing your peace. And the dragon, he just looks at her. And for a long time he's looking at her. And all that sadness and pity he's feeling in his heart, why, it forms itself into something to do. And he says, you know what? I'll come and help you. I'll come and help you make your fire come back and your house nice and warm. And she says, really? He says, yes, come on, let's go. And so they go down the mountainside, the two of them, the little girl with the flaxen hair and the little blue dress, and now not so sad-looking anymore, but rather gleeful and delighted and excited about thinking what her mummy's going to say when she sees her walking home with a dragon. And they're walking through the countryside, this little girl and this enormous dragon walking behind her, kalomp, kalomp, behind her with his huge feet, and everybody seeing them just running for the hills, everybody seeing them just and screaming and running away, and the little girl feeling all the more proud she is, like she's got the most fearsome pet that everyone has to run away from, walking through the villages, and everybody, and there's pandemonium and screaming and all, and people running away, and the little girl just walking without any kind of fear whatsoever, feeling that she's the proudest little girl in the whole world. Before long they come to her home village, and it's the same thing there, people just running for the hills, and the dragon's here! And the little girl just walking up to her mother's little house and knocking on the door, and there's her mother answering the door, and she says, oh my goodness, you're back, thank goodness, I was really beginning to, there's a dragon behind you! And the little girl says, it's okay, he's a friendly dragon, he's my friendly dragon, he's come to help us. The mother, she has to put herself back together again. She's fallen apart with worry and fright and fear to see the dragon standing there. She says, really? Yes, said the little girl. He says he's going to breathe fire into our stove and make our house warm again because he feels so sorry for us. Oh, says the mother.
Oh, very well then. Do come inside, she says to the dragon, who just lowers his head and hardly looks at her and walks into the house. And here's the stove, says the little girl. And the dragon goes to the stove and he he coughs and he splutters and he breathes out the most enormous plume of fire that you ever saw. Breathes it out and directs it right into that stove. And soon that stove, it's beginning to warm up. Soon that stove, it's beginning to glow. Until the dragon, he, that should do it, he says. And that stove is so warm now that you could cook an egg in a frying pan by holding it above the stove, not even touching it. And the whole house, it was warm, warm like a sauna. And the dragon, he just walked away and said, you'll be warmer now, to the little girl. And out of the house he went and off back up the mountainside. And all the while he's walking, all the while he's walking back through the villages and people who'd figured it was safe to come back to their houses, they're running off again, and he's just walking and walking and pondering something. He's pondering something that's very disturbing to him, very disturbing indeed. For all the good he's done, he knows it's not going to last. And as he's walking and stomping all the way back up to his cave, he's thinking of how futile that was and what a waste of time, because that fire's just going to die down again. There's no fire left in that stove. It's only hot from what he put in it. By tomorrow morning, he's thinking, their house will be as freezing as it was before. Well, he's depressed about this all evening, and when he wakes up in the morning, he's still worried. And what does he hear? Crunch, 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 crunch. Here comes the little girl. The little girl in the blue dress and the flaxen hair. And she says, my mummy and me, we're very grateful for all you did for us yesterday, but our stove, it's cold again. What does the dragon do? Why, he goes all the way back with her. But he goes all the way back with her, but his heart is feeling heavy. He goes back to her house, and he figures this time why he'll do something that lasts a bit longer, and he breathes into the oven. And by the end of it, why, that oven, it's so hot, it's almost melting. You could cook an egg just by looking at that fire. The whole house is so hot that they're sweating and having to take off all their jumpers. And the dragon says, that should last a bit longer. And he goes home and all, scaring all the natives all the way back to the mountain. But his heart's just as heavy. He's thinking, well, it might last through the night this time. But by the morning, it'll be as cold as it was when they started. And this is so troubling and so disturbing to him that all that night he's puzzling over it and thinking about it and feeling sad for the girl, but sad for himself too. For all his attempts to be of any use were kind of useless, he's thinking to himself. And he puzzles over it all night long until when the morning comes and the sun breaks over the distant mountains and shines upon him, he has a strange thought that he's never had before. A strange question it is. And he's thinking about it and wondering about it. And the question is this, where does my fire actually come from? And he's never asked it before, and probably good thing, because it's a very difficult question. It's a very difficult question, and he doesn't know quite what to do with it. But a difficult question like that, why, it'll just sit inside of you and get bigger and bigger and bigger until you answer it. And that's exactly what happens to the dragon. He is sitting there and thinking, where does my fire actually come from? And that question's getting bigger and bigger and bigger until it's almost consuming him. And he's so desperate to find an answer that
At one point, he just thinks to himself,
"Wait a second. My fire must be somewhere inside me." And with that, he takes a stone and he starts to scratch. He starts to scratch at his thorny, scaly hide, his thorny, scaly skin just above where his heart is. And he's scratching and he's scratching and he's scratching, and before long, why, he's gotten all the way to his heart. And as he looks down into his heart, what does he see? But there's a blazing inferno down there. There's a blazing inferno of so much fire. You never saw so much fire in all your life. And it's the hottest thing you ever could imagine. Well, thinks the dragon, maybe if I give them some of this fire, it'll last forever.
And so what does he do? With his scaly, clawed hand, he scoops out a little piece of the fire that's in his heart. And then he closes up his heart again, and he makes all the scaly skin good again, and he goes down the mountainside, and he goes to the house where the little girl lives with her mother, and sure enough, it's as cold then as it was when she first came to see him. But this time, he goes to the stove and he puts that piece of fire that's come from his heart, he puts it into the stove and he closes the door, and what do you know? That fire, it keeps on burning. It keeps on burning for as long as they need it. And although the little girl said, "Won't that mean that your fire is lesser now?" The dragon says,
"Maybe so. Maybe so."
And he walks back home and he ponders this. But when he gets back to his mountain, he's so happy. He's so happy to think that the little girl and her mother, they're going to be warm. And they'll be warm the next day and the next and the next. That he doesn't mind having a little less fire inside of him. But you know what? That thought that they'll be warm and all is such a lovely, warming kind of thought. He feels warm just thinking about it. A lovely, warm feeling in his heart. And all the while he thinks about it, why, he's swearing his heart is warmer than it's ever felt before. Warmer than it's ever felt before. And so, when, a few days later, he's sitting by his cave and he hears a crunch, 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 of someone coming up the mountainside, what does he see? There's a little boy. A little boy, and he's saying, "I hear that you help people light their fires. I hear that you're a kindly dragon and you help children and their mummies and daddies keep their houses warm. Well, could you help us?" And he says, "Lead on." And he goes down the mountainside with them. And when he gets there, why, he opens up his chest and he gives them a piece of fire from his heart, and it keeps their fire going for as long as they might need it. And every morning now, every morning he's sitting outside his cave, and every morning he hears a crunch, 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 crunch. And every morning when he hears this sound, why, there's something in his heart that glows so bright, a pleasurable, warm kind of feeling, just thinking of all the children that he's helped, of all the children and their mummies and daddies that he can help, and of all the children and their mummies and their daddies, and goodness knows, possibly their grannies and granddads as well, that he could help in the future. And every morning he sits there with the sun shining upon him, thinking of his big idea and the crunch, crunch, crunch that just makes his heart glow warmer.